Wired up. I'll tell you that we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 for at least this Sunday, and we're in the middle of football season. Do some of you know that? Do some of you watch football? Yeah, and probably some of you have favorite teams. Anybody have a favorite team? Yeah, well, I wasn't asking you to say it, but okay. So you got a favorite team, that's a good thing. And, don't judge anyone for... So we got favorite teams, and what's going to happen is they're going to fight. They're going to play hard for the next few weeks, and then there's going to be some playoffs, and then there's going to be a big game. You know what that big game's called? And when they play that big game, what's going to happen? What's the result?
What?
You guys,
don't start a riot,
okay? Don't start a riot. And what's going to happen is at the end of the season, there's going to be a team that reigns supreme for the year, right? And they will be called the winners for the year until next year when somebody else takes that place. But they will have reigned supreme. Well, in the world of religion and God, there is only one who reigns supreme. And he has always been supreme, and he will always be supreme. And that is Christ the Savior. Now, we live in a time, seriously, we live in a time that many things rage. Tolerance is very, very important right now in our world, right? Be tolerant. Be tolerant of any kind of lifestyle. Be tolerant of any kind of opinion or perspective. Everybody has the right to have their own opinion. And so tolerance reigns. A few other words that came to my mind, rights. You know, people's rights, that people say, you know, my rights and what I believe I should have and so on. In the religious world, we have a very big opinion that all roads lead to heaven. All religious roads lead to heaven. And what the scripture says is no. God, who was from the beginning, had a plan of salvation for people who would believe and trust in him. And that same God is the same Savior, and he is the Savior of the world. And if you believe and trust in him, you will go to heaven. Do we agree? Right. So Christ reigns supreme. I have wanted to preach through Colossians chapter 1 just in a message. It's going to be very short. It probably has maybe the potential of being a little, I don't know, just kind of academic or something, and I'm not a big scholarly guy. I just want to preach this passage, and I want to show you that Christ is supreme. Now, what that means is Christ is eternal. He has all the qualities of God. He is eternal. He is perfect. He is sovereign, and so on and so on. He's omnipotent, and he is omniscient, and he is, what's the third O?
Omnipresent,
thank you. That Christ reigns supreme. Now, what often happens when I read Scripture is that I'll read a small little passage, some verses, or I may then think, okay, I'm going to read it in context. But sometimes I miss the power of a passage of Scripture. And in Colossians chapter 1, we see this picture of the supremacy of Christ, that there is no other Savior, there's no other God, there's no other way for people to be saved. Now, it's going to start out in this first scripture. It's actually taken from the end of Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And Paul is talking about a mystery. And he's saying that there has been a mystery, and the mystery is unfolding in Christ. But the mystery has been that there is a Savior coming. Now, we've always known that there was a Savior coming. The oldest book in the New Testament, most people agree, is the book of what? Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in my flesh I shall see God. So a man of faith, Job, a man of faith, knew. Abraham was a man of faith. Noah was a man of faith. And we know that our salvation comes as an act of faith, believing in and trusting in God, our Savior. It's what we celebrated with our communion time. But we want to see in this passage the supremacy of Christ. In this verse, in verse 26 and 27 and 28, it says this: the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations has now been revealed to his saints. Let me just say, you should be excited about that. It is revealed. It was hidden, but now it's been revealed. It has been revealed to his saints. And who are the saints? We are. We are the people of God. We are the ones set apart. Now, we're not saints in the sense that we are perfect, except in Christ. But we are the ones set apart unto God. So it's been hidden from past ages and generations, now has been revealed to his saints. And of course, this is written to the people of Colossae, this little town that was near Ephesus and so on. Verse 27, to them, and who's that? That's us, to the saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are, they were either actual Gentiles then or the unbelievers, okay? And it says, to them God willed, and by there's so much in that God willed that you would know. John 6, God the Father drew you to him. Okay? God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And this is bolded, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, verse 28, if there was something I could boil down to as to the purpose of the church and the purpose of our church, it would be this. It says, him we preach. That's what we preach. We're going to preach the supremacy of Christ, that Christ is the Savior. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He is the Savior. He is your eternal Savior. Okay? Him we preach. And then these are the things we do. Warning every man. It's like during communion, I said today, you know, if someone here has heard about Jesus but has never personally trusted, put their faith and trust in Jesus, you can do that now. That's a warning. That's a warning because the Bible says to us that without Christ, without the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness or remission of sins. And so we as a church, me as an individual, you as an individual, as a follower of Christ, you are warning the people that you talk with. Now, you can warn in all different kinds of ways. You know, you can scream, watch out. You can lovingly explain to someone, whatever it is, there's a warning. Him we preach, Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that's the applied knowledge of God's word, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Just think of that, that we are in a part with God, that we may present every man, every person, perfect in Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to invite and we want to present. You think about the people you love the most, the people that you care about that are not saved. You know, we want to join Christ in this mission of salvation, and we want to be able to present. We want to be standing there at the gate on the inside watching that one come in. And they're presented to the Lord Jesus, perfect in the blood of Christ, and they enter heaven. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way completion comes. That's the only way forgiveness comes. That's the only way we're going to be perfect in his sight, to be in Christ. And him we're going to share. We're going to share it at Awana. We're going to share it at Harvest Fair. We're going to share it in our Bible studies. We're going to share it on Sunday mornings. And we're going to be ambassadors taking the baton out into our world, to our families, wherever we go, sharing people with Christ. Now, let's jump back to the first part of chapter 1. And I'm going to stop and pray. God, I thank you for the privilege to learn these things from Colossians chapter 1. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, who at this point in his life was in jail writing these letters to these peoples that he loved. He wanted them to know the truth. And so I pray, Lord, as we talk through this passage, that we will see the supremacy of Christ. Christ has always been supreme. He will always be supreme. He is the only Savior, the only one that we can put our faith and trust in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I've done is gone through the passage all the way through chapter 1 and found not only the word Christ, but any time Christ was referred to. Okay? And I tried to write it in, well, I wrote it the best way I could to just develop the supremacy of Christ. And so here it is. And you can look up here and I'll look at my paper. So it begins, the mystery, let's go to the next slide. We are the sent ones. Okay, if you can see that. Here's how it goes. I'm just going to read. We are the sent ones of Christ. We are brethren in Christ. I just want you to see how this all fits together. We have grace and peace in the Father and Christ. And it's very significant how we show the deity of Christ, how things like grace and peace come from the Father and from the Son. An equality there. Believers place their faith in Jesus Christ. By the way, the numbers are not supposed to be sequential up here. The numbers are the numbers of the verses where you find that truth. Okay, so in verse 4, believers place their faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 7, it is Christ that faithful gospel ministers trust in, proclaim, and him they preach in verse 7. That's why we exist. That's why Rob was here for 43 years. He was preaching Christ. That's why I'm here. That's why you as a minister of Christ is sharing the good news of Christ. Verse 10, believers' life motivation is to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, living to fully please Christ. Now, if Jesus Christ were not deity, then, which means he was God, if he wasn't God, then we wouldn't worry about walking worthy to please him. We walk worthy to please Christ because Christ is God in the flesh, Christ Jesus. Verse 13, the Father has delivered us up from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the complete forgiveness of sins. And by the way, you remember when Jesus was at that house and he was healing people, and a man was on a stretcher and they couldn't get into the house. So what did they do? Crawled up on the roof, right? They opened up the man's roof. I hope it wasn't the rainy season. They opened up the man's roof and they let this man down. And when they were letting him down, Jesus said some words to him. And the very first thing he said to him was, your sins are forgiven. Now, this man didn't come to have his sins forgiven. He came to be healed. He was a paralytic. He wanted physical healing. But the first thing Jesus did was say, your sins are forgiven. And then he said, take up your bed and walk. Again, showing the deity of Christ, the supremacy of Christ. Verse 14 again, in Christ we have redemption through his blood with complete forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Now, first of all, he is the image of the invisible God. We know that God the Father, John 4 tells us that God is spirit. and they who worship him in spirit and in truth. But when God was incarnate, which means he became in the flesh, he was born through Mary, through that miraculous scene that we'll talk about at Christmas time, and he was God, he was Emmanuel, God with us. All right, and that word is very specific, given many times in Scripture, that he is God with us. So many, like I said, this all roads lead to heaven view that people have, you know, they will not agree. They disclaim the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh. Okay? Now, the next phrase is, Jesus Christ is firstborn of all creation. Now, I've been trying to understand this, and I did some study on it, and I'm just going to read these words to you. Meaning not first created, rather the one with the highest rank. The phrase firstborn of all creation proclaims Christ's preeminence as the eternal of God, the creator of the universe and everything in it, the ruler of creation. Firstborn is also seen in the following passages, and you'll see Romans 8:29 there. It says, believers are to be conformed to the image of his son. There's so much in that. Jesus Christ was first resurrected in a glorified body. Colossians 1:18 refers to that. Then Christ Jesus, as sovereign, is shown that all angels worship him. And then finally, Christ is the resurrected one, the ruler of the kings of the earth. And so, it is a place of preeminence that Christ has, that he was firstborn. Verse 16, by Jesus Christ, all things in heaven and earth were created, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created by him in verse 16 and for him. So in this idea that Christ is supreme, what we want to establish is the fact that Christ is not just one of a few. Christ is just, he is not on par with Muhammad. He's not on par with Joseph Smith. He's not on par with any of the other prophets who have come along. He is supreme over all. And Colossians shows in this passage of Scripture how he is supreme, that he is creator of all things. And he is, it says that all things were made through him and all things were made for him, that he would receive the glory and the honor that only God deserves. Okay? Jesus Christ is before all things, verse 17. In Jesus Christ, all things consist. Christ, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and we are the church, and he is our head, and he is our leader. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That is, in all things, Christ, Jesus Christ, may have the preeminence. And by the way, when I read Jesus Christ, often I just say, like, Yeshua, Messiah. You know, he is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. We know that Jesus Christ, it was not his first and last name. Jesus was his human name that actually was given by the angel, and Joseph and Mary were told to name him Jesus, and he is the Christ. He is the deliverer. He's the Messiah. Without Jesus, none of us are going to heaven. Without having a Messiah, a deliverer, one who delivered us from the bondage of sin to the freedom of being forgiven, the Messiah is the one that did that. It's by faith in him that we are saved. Maybe you're more confident at times than I am. One of the reasons this message is so important for me is because I listen to the TV, and I listen to the radio, and I listen to the banter that happens out there over our airwaves. It's constant, and constantly the world is elevating other religions and world leaders, and constantly the world is depressing and suppressing the name of Christ. We need to know in our soul that Christ is supreme and there is no other. And again, our world is like, well, if you disagree with me, then you're judging me if you tell me the truth. Now I need to pray that God will give us wisdom and discernment and give us a way to talk to people so that they don't feel judged, if we can. Sometimes you're just going to say the truth about Jesus and people are going to feel judged. You're judging me. You think you're holier than thou, you know. And all we know is we're forgiven. And we're trying to offer you forgiveness. We're trying to offer you the way of salvation so that you can know Christ as well. Let's see, where are we? The church. Christ is the beginning. Verse 19, it pleased the Father that in Christ Jesus all the fullness should dwell. It pleased the Father that by Jesus Christ all things would be reconciled to him. Christ reconciled all things on earth and heaven through the blood of his cross. What an amazing statement that is. It really did take the blood of Christ, the blood of the perfect Lamb, the blood of the Son of God who was incarnate, dying in our place, shedding his blood so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed. It had to be that way. And it was God's plan. Verse 21, all human beings are alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works of unbelief. Yet we now have been reconciled by Jesus Christ, by the body of his flesh through death. Christ did this to present believers. And here, this is a beautiful thing. Christ did this to present you to the Father and so that you would be holy, set apart unto God, that you would be holy. Let me find the words. Holy, blameless, above reproach in Christ Jesus' sight. It's interesting. He not only is the one who presents, but he's the one who will be there that you will be presented to. And there's so much about Trinity that we can't get into, but God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It says, and Paul admonishes, verse 23, you can see 23 up there. Very good. 21:23. You see that right in the middle? This is an interesting verse. It says, believers must persevere. Paul admonishes believers to continue in our faith in Christ Jesus. He says this, we are to be grounded, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel of truth of Jesus Christ, in which we have heard. The truth of Christ, which is the truth of Christ, is the truth of what was preached to us. Now, let me just back up and say a word about that. We know that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we believe in him, we surrender to him, that he saves us by grace. There's nothing we can do on our own to make God love us more or do something so that he is pleased with us. We simply say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my sin. Make me a child of God. And by his grace, what does he do? He does it. By his grace, he makes you a child of God, forgiven, adopted, sealed. That's what God does. But then Paul says this. He says, believers must persevere. Let me read verse 23 to you here from the scripture. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 8 tells us, what shall separate us from the love of God? And the answer is what? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But we know as individuals, we can wander. And he gives some strong words of admonition to us. He says, believer, Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk in a manner worthy that is pleasing the Lord with what you're doing. And you know what we're saying? We're saying, God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Lord, guide me. Jesus' prayer in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and do what? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? For thine is the kingdom and the power, and so on. Well, in this passage of Scripture, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, there's this idea of walking with God. We all know that, I was giving the guys in our Sunday school class a little example. I said, you know, you bring a boat up to a dock and you walk away without tying it off, what's going to happen? It might be there when you get back or not. I don't know. It's going to drift away, right? And what this passage says is, it says, continue in the faith, so there is a walking with the Lord. And actually, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, even 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, all of those passages say, when you're on the team, play for the team. Continue in, walk in my word. We know that prayer is important to our life, and the word is important, and fellowship and church is important in our life, and personal devotion, and that God is, that we are walking with him on a daily basis. Daily we're saying, God, I need you. Daily we're saying, Lord, give me wisdom. There are times in our own lives and with other people where we have wandered. We believe and we're saved, but we have wandered. That's a miserable place to be. It may kind of seem almost like passé for the first few hours or the first few days, but boy, when you wander, pretty soon you're going, man, where have I gone? Lord, help me. You know, sometimes there are consequences that are so painful for individual Christians. We were just praying for a friend this morning who used to sit in our congregation many, many years ago, and they're far from the Lord. This passage of Scripture says, continue in the faith. Now, by the way, continuing in the faith is a joyous thing. Excuse me. It is a joyous thing. It's joy continuing in the faith. Continue in the faith, grounded. Grounded, knowing the Word of God, rehearsing the Word of God, loving the Word of God, letting the Word of God be a reflection of your life, amending your life because God's Word has shown you things. Grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I just saw the clock and I realized, wow, how fast time goes. Look at just this next paragraph with me. Paul was a minister of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He was a minister of the supreme Christ. That's what he gave his life up for. That's when he was saved, he was on the road, he was outside of Christ, he was now in Christ, and he spent the rest of his days preaching Christ. He was not a minister of Buddha, he was not a minister of anything else, he was a minister of Jesus Christ, and for that he gave his life. That is an example of Christ being supreme in the Apostle Paul's life. Paul suffered for the body of Christ, for Christ's body, the church as for Christ's body, the church as a preacher, giving his flesh to promote Christ as well. Believers will suffer for the sake of Christ's body, the church. Paul, chosen by God, was called to preach, to tell the gospel of Christ at any cost. This was Paul's stewardship to God. By the way, we have been gifted with gifts from the Holy Spirit so that we can be a part of the service of the work of Christ. Paul gave his life and Paul gave his, his life for the gospel and for the church, the gathering and the group of God's people. And we are to do similarly at any cost. This was Paul's stewardship to God, his life His life and preaching fulfilled God's call on Paul's life and fulfilled the word of God, the scripture says, in God's sovereign eternal gospel plan. The gospel message of the Christ was hidden in ages past, but now has been revealed to Christ's set apart ones, the saints. To the saints who by faith believed in Jesus Christ by placing their faith and trust in him. So we'll preach the second half of this some other time. So there's a contest going on right now between football teams. And there will be one, don't need any comments right now, but there will be one that will reign supreme sometime in February. I want you to know that Christ has and always will reign supreme. We will enter heaven because of the work of Christ that he did on the cross. People we know that are believing all the other roads, people that are believing in tolerance as far as religion is concerned and so on, they are going to be disappointed and shocked in their rebellious heart that they didn't turn to the supreme Christ, only Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the Savior of the world. Worship team, can I have you come up? And we're just going to kind of sing the conclusion of our message. What I want you to know and what I want to know is Christ is not one of many choices. Christ is not to be disregarded. Christ is to believe Jesus the Christ. He is to put your life, your faith, and your trust into his hands, to surrender to him, and to say, God, you lead me. I commit and submit my life to you, and I will commit and submit my life to walk a life worthy of you. Lord, help me to continue and to grow in you and walk with you. Colossians chapter 1 is a wonderful passage that leads us to understand the supremacy of Christ. So while we're singing this song, I just want to invite you to respond to him. Either respond to Christ by saying, Lord, I need you, save me, forgive me. Maybe there's a completely different need. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you because you're going through a difficult thing. We want to do that. We want to come alongside you. So let's stand together, and Kate, would you lead us?
I will sing.
you, Lord. We have a little luncheon right now. It's a newcomer's luncheon, and many of you have signed up. If you didn't have a chance to sign up, please join us, and we just want to invite you and help you understand a little bit more about Pioneer Bible Church, how we can serve together. God, we thank you for today. This song was a great conclusion. Step by step, Lord, we will follow you all of our days. Thank you for the great and amazing miracle of salvation that we have in trusting Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that we have the privilege to know the supreme Christ, the supreme ruler, the creator, the savior, the one and only God. Lord, we love you. We pray, Lord, for people we know who need to know Jesus. God, that you would touch their hearts and you would use us as we're part of the team that presents them to the Lord faultless because they've come to Christ. Lord, give us opportunity and give us courage, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.